With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, little Astros Nugs with Brandon Scott. Covers the team. He's at most of the games. B. Scott, hit him with the Nugs. Astros playing some good baseball. And still got my doubts, though, but, you know.
The Astros are playing baseball.
Yes, they are.
Hey, but look, at least recently, everything's kind of come together. I was saying in the beginning of the year that, hey, this is a team that the identity's changing a little bit. The offense isn't as good as it was. You're missing some players out of your lineup. It's not the same. But lo and behold, your pitching is kind of taking over, and that's still the case. But now the offense has finally kind of caught up with everything. And not just the offense, but, like, the guys in the back of the lineup. Martin Maldonado. Shout out to Martin Maldonado, man. Callis, when he cleared the bases yesterday, right? And I think they already had the game won. I mean, they held him to one run. But Todd Callis act like he has seen a ghost. He act like he has seen a ghost with Martin Maldonado.
He's up to 122.
He's up to 122. And
he's hitting like a pitcher. He was hitting worse than a pitcher. He's hitting like a pitcher now.
Passable, like one something is not going to get it done. But if he could just be in the low twos,
okay,
be a passable, actual
big
league hitter.
The low what?
The low twos, man. If he could just get there, I mean, I'm talking about like a little sweetener on the end. Biggest problem for me right now, honestly, is Alex Bregman. That's the biggest problem because Alex Bregman is supposed to be your second or third best player. And right now, I feel like he's maybe your fourth or fifth, somewhere behind Jordan Alvarez, Kyle Tucker, Jose Altuve, and
Jeremy
Pena, which is who I really want to talk about. Because as good as Jeremy Pena's been and as much attention as he's getting, a lot of it being because obviously he's Carlos Correa's replacement, but like just independent of that, as a rookie and as a third baseman, he's already like one of the better. To me, it's noteworthy as a shortstop. It's noteworthy for a couple of reasons. The rookie market was supposed to be big this year because you had a couple of big prospects that were starting on opening day. You had Bobby Witt out in Kansas City. You had the kid from Seattle, Rodriguez. And then there was another one, Torkelson, I think, in Detroit. All of these guys supposed to be bigger than Jeremy Pena. Who's the best rookie, though? Jeremy Pena. This was a big shortstop market. Carlos Correa, Trevor Story, Corey Seager. Who's leading the shortstops right now in slugging percentage and in war? Jeremy Pena. Like, to me, I feel like as much as we've liked Jeremy Pena and as much as we've enjoyed watching him so far, we might be underselling the guy and how good he's actually been early on in the season.
What do you mean we might be underselling him? Where the hell you been?
I feel like we might be underselling it. Like, we're talking about it in the context of a Carlos Correa replacement, but it might be even bigger than that. Like, this kid has potential to be one of the top shortstops in the game, period. Like, independent of just the Carlos Correa context, this guy could be Rookie of the Year in a year when rookies were supposed to be dope. Like the top prospects started opening day, and they've been, you know, somewhat of a disappointment. Whereas Jeremy Pena's been a revelation. I think it's an even bigger story than we realize.
I wonder if, you know, the pay the man last year, hashtag pay the man, anytime Carlos Correa did anything, like, as much as, of course, the finances came into play, I wonder, like, if the decision to go with Jeremy Pena was really just a financial decision, or if they figured that Jeremy Pena, it was worth going with Jeremy Pena instead of Carlos
Correa. It feels like it.
Obviously, in 3 years, you got to look ahead and you got to take into account that Tucker and Yordan Alvarez are going to be through arbitration. So there is that. But was it really just a financial situation, or could this have been the best baseball decision?
No, I feel like it could have actually been the base, like both, right? Like if even if he was just marginally worse than Carlos Correa, then you could make the argument for doing it. But if he's going to perform in some cases better, like maybe he's not quite as good of a defensive shortstop as Carlos Correa. Maybe he is
he's
eventually.
He's definitely not. He's definitely not.
But like I'm saying, like eventually, of course, like he's a rookie. But already I feel like it feels like he's a better offensive player. And especially it feels like he is a better overall. Carlos Correa
713-572-4610. You say we're underdoing it. You're overdoing
Carlos
it
Carlos Correa was not a great offensive player. He's a good hitter, not a great hitter. Jeremy Pena right now, also a good hitter, not a great hitter. So as a rookie.
You're
so I'm saying eventually, one day, could Jeremy Pena be a better offensive player than Carlos Correa? I think it's in play. I mean, right now, he leads all shortstops in slugging. He's like top three in home runs. I mean, like it's right there. It's right there to see. And I mean, you've seen the guns on the dude, right? Like he's a bona fide power hitter. Like there's just a different type of player, a different type of build. But I mean, I think offensively you might have something here.
Look, I think these are the situations where you gain credibility as a front office. Not that the Astros. Well, James Click kind of did need it. Honestly, I feel like we lump in the Luno decisions with the Click, but if this ends up being the smart baseball decision, and because of this, you have Kyle Tucker and Yordan Alvarez along with Jeremy Pena, a case can be made that it was the better baseball decision. I do think you're getting a little bit crazy talking about being a better offensive player.
What
already?
I mean, Carlos Correa was not a great offensive player. He just was not. He was a good hitter. He was a clutch hitter, but he was not a great offensive player. Right now, Jeremy Pena leads all shortstops in WAR and slugging percentage.
713-572-4610. Armando, you're on with Landry Locker and Brandon Scott in for the OG.
What's going on, guys? Look, listen, as a fellow Puerto Rican, I got to say this about Carlos Correa. He's right. He wasn't great. He had some good moments, and that's about it. I think Jeremy Pena is an upgrade all the way around on the offense. And in a couple of years, we're going to be saying the same thing on defense. Guarantee it.
Oh,
on a second note, if Carlos ends up in New York, I hope he blows his knees out.
Oh, that's a little drastic.
I thought the Puerto Rican on Puerto Rican crime was bad enough, but my goodness, you hope he blows his knees out, huh?
Yeah, that's a little drastic. I mean, I wonder how that plays in Puerto Rico. I know y'all are a real tribal community there. That's not good.
Do you think that the fact that Correa didn't get what he thought he was going to get kind of made the Astros look smart too? Because that was my first reaction. Like, it was assumed, and I assumed it. Hell, and maybe if he'd have had Scott Boras the whole time instead of trying to go with some sort of like acting agency, maybe Carlos Correa does get the money. But didn't like the league kind of tell you that maybe the Astros were on to something in some way, shape, or form? Now, there was the lockout, but he basically signed a one-year deal with the Minnesota Twins. Like, nobody gave him the 8 years, you know, $250 million or whatever that we were talking about. Didn't the league kind of tell you that maybe there was a little bit more to it than just simply pay the man?
The league told you that, and then also the league is all – like, the it's all playing out as well when you look at the guys that did sign the big deals, right? So go over and check out what the Rangers are doing with Corey Seager. I know Corey Seager hasn't been terrible, but – you know, spending $500 million this past offseason has not translated into immediate success in any form or fashion for the Rangers. Marcus Semien, until like the last couple of games, has been awful. Javi Baez has not been great in Detroit. Like, this whole idea of paying all of this money for a shortstop for 10 years probably isn't going to age well anyway. They're probably going to end up looking smart. It was always a more emotional tie and argument for keeping Carlos Correa, and also the fact that you had just let George Springer go, with some people having the idea and logic of, hey, maybe you're saving this money for Carlos Correa, and then that ended up not being the case. So I think some people felt a little bit betrayed by that. But as far as, like, using your head over your heart, it was always in play that the Astros were thinking along the right lines and making the right decision.
I think on another level, and I know that there's no salary cap in baseball, but there is a budget. Like, let's be serious. There is a budget.
Tax, yeah.
There's a luxury tax, all that. Like, even if Jeremy Pena sucked, like, let's say Jeremy Pena was doing terrible.
Right.
And this was, like, almost how Bregman used to start seasons. Like, Jeremy Pena was struggling. He looked lost. There were people saying, you know, you might need to send this guy back down to the minors. Let's say he was doing that. You could still make a case that they made the right decision letting Correa walk because they were able to sign Justin Verlander when Correa walked. If you are of the belief that because they weren't signing Correa, they could bring back Verlander, with the way Verlander's pitching, if you want to connect those two things, I don't know how connected they are.
No, I think they are.
Then they made the right decision no matter what Pena does.
Well, and this is not to get too much into semantics of money, but signing Correa with $35 million plus a year puts you over the luxury tax. Signing, and for the foreseeable future, signing Justin Verlander to $25 million does not.
Okay.
And it's a more valuable position in that way if he's going to be an ace.
Well, then it's icing to me. Like,
there it is.
No matter what Pena is, Justin Verlander, with what he's given you and what you need and what we know that you need in October.
Yeah. It's a mathematical fact.
A Cy Young candidate right now.
Yeah.
Like, then it was a good decision no matter what Pena's doing, and Pena's basically icing. It's some damn good icing, too.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's a mathematical fact. You ended up keeping the pitcher, like I said, and stayed under the luxury tax, and he's your best pitcher, possibly the best pitcher in the game right now, right? Like, he's leading the league in certain stats. I don't know, ERA or whatever it is. He's got these league-leading stats. And then Correa, it would be a marginal difference between the two, and that puts you over the luxury tax. Like, and it's not just money with luxury tax. They're like draft penalties and a lot of minutiae that goes with it. This is clearly the better decision.
So there we go.
I'm glad I'm not running the Astros, because I would have paid Correa and I would have been wrong.
Pena over Correa per B. Scott, and a Puerto Rican wishes a knee injury on the Sparkle.
I was not ready for that.
I was not expecting
that at all.
Coming up, an apology from Nick Saban. Deshaun Watson is heading to the Bahamas, and the biggest endorsement of Davis Mills you will ever hear. The hits are lit next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.